Related to the whole hobby thing. It was actually music that got me into working with programming on the web, because I wanted to build a website to put my music on. I know so many programmers, like myself included, and their favorite thing is deleting code that they wrote, which is a strange thing, but it means like the stuff that you do is always temporary and it goes away. But if you make a piece of music, even if it's not very good, it kind of stays, you know. If you put it somewhere, it'll be there forever, and you can listen to it 4 years from now and like remember maybe what you're doing at the time and all this sort of stuff. So it feels really satisfying that you did something and now it's there and it won't get deleted or refactored or something like that. it's done.
Okay, selamat pagi Sobat di atas gudang semuanya. Kembali lagi bersama saya Didi Wicaksono di Ngobrol Asik. Ngobrolnya santai, topiknya asik, dan narasumbernya juga asik tentunya. Dan di pagi ini baru aja selesai untuk pemilu, pilkada. Dan sudah selesai nih untuk nyoblos. Kita langsung ngobrol-ngobrol nih dengan tamu kita yang baru aja saya undang untuk ngobrolin tentang hobinya. Ya. Jadi pada sesi ngobrol asik kali ini kita akan ngobrolin tentang hobi dan bagaimana sebenarnya hobi itu bisa berkontribusi untuk menghasilkan sesuatu. Dan aku baru baca sedikit dari ada artikel dari Harvard Business Review, itu katanya kenapa kita harus spend some time untuk melakukan hobi kita dan apa saja manfaatnya dari melakukan hobi tersebut. Ada banyak orang yang saya perhatikan itu di masa pandemi ini jadi banyak untuk explore hobi baru, termasuk saya sendiri. Ini adalah hobi baru sih, jadi semuanya adalah eksperimen, dan kita bisa melihat banyak manfaat yang bisa didapatkan dari eksperimen hobi tersebut. Ada banyak orang yang mulai explore hobi baru, ada juga orang-orang yang lumayan terkenal dan cukup yang cukup dikenal itu bisa ternyata mereka masih mengeksplor hobi-hobi mereka walaupun mereka berada di posisi yang tinggi sekalipun. Oke, di episode kali ini saya mengundang salah seorang kolega saya di kantor di Cookpad. Itu namanya Jens Palvik. Dia adalah seorang developer. Namun yang ingin saya obrolin dengan dia kali ini adalah mengenai hobinya. Dan hobinya dia adalah membuat musik. Nah, Jens ini juga musik-musiknya bisa kalian akses di palvik.com. Dan kebetulan juga musiknya juga ada di Spotify. Kalau misalkan kalian search dengan nama Palvik itu pasti ketemu dengan albumnya dia. Nah, ini kita setelah ini saya akan switch ngobrol dengan bahasa Inggris karena teman saya tentunya masih belum jago bahasa Indonesianya dan saya juga masih belum jago bahasa Danish. Jadi kita akan ngobrol bahasa Inggris aja yang kita bisa ngerti bersama. Alright, and here goes. Welcome, Jens.
I was just gonna say, I think I've said it before, but I really like the sound of Indonesian, the Indonesian language. It's something that's kind of like a soft quality to it.
That's probably because, I didn't yell anything unnecessarily.
it might just be you, yeah.
All right, how are you, and how are you doing right now?
Yeah, not too bad. Just got up a couple hours ago here in Japan. Don't know what time it is over there, but it's 10 a.m. here, so I'm refreshed and ready to start the day with a chat with you.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming, and let's start with discussing your hobbies. So I'm going to start with probably not into your hobby yet, but I'm going to ask you about how do you actually start your career. how do you start your you learn about programming?
Programming. I sort of had multiple attempts or multiple encounters with programming, and I guess the first time I ran into it, I was probably less than 10 years old. I can't remember, but I was really into games, and I saw in a magazine there was this article about how you could make your own games, and that sounded really exciting to me. And so it had all this C++ code in there, and a library was attached as well from like an actual Blockbuster game. And so they wrote, like, if you just, you know, compile this in C++ and copy paste this code, then you'll have your own game. And I thought, oh, that sounds cool, but I don't have a C++ compiler. So I asked my dad if we could go buy some C++ software. And I think it was Borland C++ or something. And we came home with this massive box and a 700-page manual. And I installed it and I tried to copy paste the code, and it just didn't work. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it didn't compile, or maybe there was something missing, but I didn't even have any knowledge to sort of debug it. So I thought, fine, I'll try and start reading this 700-page manual. And it just started with like an employee management system. Let's build that. And that was the most boring thing that, you know, someone under 10 years could think of. So I guess at that point, I was kind of just scared away from programming for many years after that.
So you have a really hard start for programming.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, so I guess it wasn't until I got to university and actually had a real programming class that I realized it was kind of fun. And I realized I quite enjoyed it now that I understood what it was meant to do. And also, I guess stuff had advanced more, so you could do more stuff easily. And I guess then slightly related to the whole hobby thing, it was actually music that got me into working with programming on the web, because I wanted to build a website to put my music on. And so that's when I started learning about HTML and CSS and databases and this sort of stuff. So it was kind of fueled by a real use case of having to put my music online. And then I just realized actually doing this web stuff was kind of fun too. And I started thinking about, oh, maybe this is something I could do for work, because my music wasn't selling enough to build a career on it.
Oh, that's interesting. So you have started your programming because your needs in hosting your own music website.
At least the web part, for sure. Like I had kind of always been interested in computers and so forth before that, but now there's like a real thing to use it for. So that's always helpful when you want to learn something, I think.
So before we are dwelling into your music hobby, so do you have any other hobbies besides music?
Yeah, I've got a couple of sort of random ones that come and go. Like recently I've taken up skateboarding, which is a bit of a midlife crisis thing to do, I think, but I'm quite enjoying that now. And also I've been lucky enough to have one of my colleagues teach me a little about IoT, you know, kind of Arduino, Raspberry Pi, that stuff. So I've been dabbling with that a little bit. I've been building these buttons. It's quite silly right now. This is just a button that I made that I can do different stupid stuff, such as posting to my colleagues when I'm making coffee. It was my most recent use case. Pretty stupid, but just kind of fun to dabble with, I guess.
Maybe it will be a start of a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah, I should put a Kickstarter for the coffee button.
All right. So do you also play games, or that's just not your hobby? Just for leisure?
Yeah, I love games, and I've loved them since I was a kid, basically. But recently, sort of having a kid and having time become a very finite resource, I start to feel a little bit guilty, I guess, if I spend my time playing a game. So even though I enjoy it, I feel like when I'm done playing it, I haven't really accomplished anything. So I'm kind of like trying to use it as kind of like you would eat cake or something. It's like a treat that I'll do every now and then, but it's not something I do every day, because then I'll start feeling guilty and like I should be doing something more productive.
Okay, and so let's start about talking about music. Do you still remember how you start making music? What kind of events that triggers you that you're starting music?
Yeah, Yeah, I guess it depends on how far back you want to go, but I think I must have been 11 or 12 years old or so, and I began listening to what was called, I guess they called it synthesizer music at the time. I suppose you call it electronic music now. And it was kind of, it was not a cool thing to be listening to synthesizer music. It was kind of frowned upon and people didn't think it was real music. And, you know, my classmates would be listening to, I don't know, Guns N' Roses or like pop music, and they're, what is this weird music? A computer made everything. So, I started listening to that, and I guess I kind of became interested in playing it myself. So I found a place where you could learn how to play what they call, I guess they call it the keyboard. It's like an electronic or electric piano. It's one of those where you can push a button and like drums start playing and all this stuff, and then you play on top. And I was lucky enough to get a really good teacher who, I guess in spite of kind of being a bit of an older lady, she sort of understood the synthesizer music thing, and she was really good to, you know, find sheet music of the music that I liked and allowed me to play it and so forth. So I was really kind of encouraged to learn more after that.
Okay. Since you are starting quite early, is that hobby continuously being done, or is just one thing and then you'll start again later at the time?
Yeah, that one. So music, I guess, is the one hobby that has stuck with me for a really long time. And even at some points in time, it kind of went beyond being a hobby and something I thought, oh, maybe I can make a bit of a living on this. But, you know, I never really succeeded there. But it's even then it stuck around as a hobby. So, it's almost as far back as I can remember having a hobby. It's been music.
Okay. And besides the nice old lady that taught you about music, do you have any source of inspirations, like favorite artists or maybe a person that you know?
Yeah, there's definitely, you can definitely learn just from listening to other artists and so forth. But I also think this, maybe there's this impression when you make music or something, is that you get some inspiration and then you just go and make the music. But I found it somehow to be the other way around. Like you have, or at least for me, I have to sit and make music, and it sounds like crap. It'll sound like crap for like half an hour, it'll still sound bad after an hour, and then suddenly something starts to sound interesting, and then you just kind of build on that. So it's almost like you gotta produce your own inspiration. And you can see, I think if you go to my website you can see it mentioned, but I did this thing a couple of years ago where I committed to doing one song a week for a whole year, and that was really kind of gave me a lot of insight into how that works. Because when you just force yourself to do something every week, it might not be a masterpiece every time, but like something will come out of it because you're just working at it. So I think that's maybe the work part of being a musician, is you gotta continue to work at it to get something interesting out of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I remember that you, maybe at that time you are also making a video about yourself, recording sounds from the nature. I think I saw it maybe in Instagram or something. Is it at that time that you are trying to force yourself to create something every week?
Yeah, that was definitely something I did, because you only have that week. And so the whole week, I'm just really conscious of things that I can use to kind of make it a little bit easier for me. When it would usually be on the Saturday or on the Sunday, I would be scrambling to put something together. So I was just continuously trying to grab stuff from around me that I could use as a trigger to work on something at the end of the week.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I saw you walking in the in the snow and start recording the snow snow sounds. I think it was a couple of years ago, I forgot. Yeah, that's really nice. And how do you find yourself time to make music and do other things?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult, like I mentioned, with the having a kid and so forth. So I've been trying to find ways that I can do music really sort of casually and quickly. So like I do have in this room that I'm sitting in, this is where I've got all my sort of main music stuff and it's sort of scattered around me. But it's also the place where I do most of my work. So I've found that like at the end of the day, when I've been sitting in front of the computer for hours, I don't really want to stay in this room and continue to like stare at a screen. So I've been kind of investing in things that run on batteries and so forth, like small synthesizers that don't need to be plugged into the walls. So I can take them outside or I can take them into the living room and just kind of optimizing for those small gaps of free time that I have now to get something recorded. So yeah, I have lots of these battery packs now, so I can just kind of move stuff around without being stuck in one place. So that's kind of something I'm working on, but it's the only way I'll get anything done is if I capitalize on those free moments of time, I guess.
Do you also use your hobby to interact with your families, especially maybe your daughter?
Yes. So well, she likes to come down here as well, and then it's turned into like a routine. So she kind of starts in one corner, and over on the wall I have all these percussion instruments, so she'll play with those, and then she moves over then the back. I don't know if you can see, there's like a xylophone and some stuff over there. Mm-hmm. And then over on the right side is more of the electronic stuff, so she'll just go through it all until she's done, and then my very clean studio is all of a sudden a huge mess. But yeah, it's quite fun just to watch what she'll do with it.
Okay. And yeah, oh yeah, regarding xylophones and etc. Do you know, do you have what kind of instruments do you play?
Yeah, so I guess the main instrument is sort of the computer, but I really like using, I guess, non-electronic stuff in the electronic music. So I have lots of like acoustic instruments, I guess you could say, and I put them sort of within range so I can reach right over here and I have like a little shaker or something, or I don't know, over here is kind of like a small synthesizer as well. So everything is like within reach, and there's also a microphone over there that I can pull out. And I realized again, this is about having not a lot of time and also having to work at it until you find something interesting. If something takes too long, like I gotta first unpack something or plug it in or something, then it's already, I've already lost the game. I'll lose interest and nothing will get done. So I've tried to like just surround myself with stuff that I can reach. I even have some kind of magnets under the table with cables attached to them so I can pull them out and then put them back in. So that's kind of the concept, I guess, for what I have.
Yes. Besides, so you own a lot of instruments, and how many synthesizers that you have right now?
I guess I have less and less, and I've got more just weird. I wish I could show you. I can't actually turn the screen, but I've got more just like acoustic instruments, like shakers, and I don't know. What else I have over there? More xylophones and kalimbas and so forth. But I only have like a handful of synthesizers. And I guess I'm past the phase that I used to have where I really wanted to collect a lot of gear. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like I want to have less stuff around me because I'm not going to be plugging it in anyway. So I guess just I can see maybe 4 or 5 synthesizers from where I'm sitting, and they're all like the small kind. Here's another really small, fun, small one. Looks like a calculator, basically.
Oh.
So it's all kind of like this size, so it doesn't take up a lot of space.
Do you use a special software for making music?
Yeah, I use Ableton Live, which I guess is one of the sort of the major 3 or 4 programs you can get for making music.
Ableton, okay.
Yeah, that I don't know if it's the... Maybe Germany and Scandinavia has a lot in common when it comes to minimalism, but that software is like, it's made by a German company and it has this really kind of German style to it. It's like really functional and minimalistic and not too many things that get in your way. So I quite like it.
I thought it was like a farm simulator or truck simulator, things like that.
Right. Music simulator.
Music Simulator. Oh, okay. So yeah, I just really know. I just know about Ableton Live right now. Mm-hmm. That's one piece of software. It's similar. I think it's more. Do you use a Logic Pro or maybe?
Yeah, that's where I came
other
from.
Other expensive Apple stuff.
Right. It's funny that you mentioned Apple because I used to use Logic, but I also used to be a PC user. And Logic used to be available on the PC, and then I think Apple bought it or bought the company that made it, and then they said, okay, now it's only available on Mac. And I was still a PC user, so that basically meant, okay, I have to use something else. But yeah, now I'm on the Mac. I guess I could switch to it again, but I don't know.
But you need better hardware for that.
Yeah, I'm surprised like how well this. I have a MacBook Air, and that's what I use for music, and you know, the specs aren't that great on the MacBook Air, but it kind of works with Ableton Live. Sometimes you get the fan going crazy, but mm-hmm. You know, I'm surprised how much you can actually do with it now, such a small computer.
Yes, yeah, that's really interesting. And maybe the next M1 would be a game changer.
Yeah, I'm really, they mentioned that the new MacBook Air doesn't have a fan, and mm-hmm. You know, I don't like noise, so that sounds really appealing to me.
Yes, that's really appealing. And I saw a video about it yesterday, and the M1 MacBook Pro can actually play a really decent game, AAA games like The Witcher or things like that, and it runs really well.
Wow.
But maybe 92 degrees Celsius, but still runs.
You can cook an egg on it while you play.
Yes. Yeah, and yes, regarding software, and then I noticed that you already published your music in Spotify, but maybe a lot of people doesn't know how does you publish music to maybe a publisher or things like that.
Yeah, I guess now it's actually really easy. You can both, if you have a laptop, you can both make music and you can publish it. And there are like services that you pay them some money and they basically put it on all the platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and so forth. So it used to be you'd have to go through a record label to be able to do it, but now you can basically do it yourself. And I mean, that can be fun and satisfying just to get your music out there, but I've come to realize that the hard part is what comes after. It's actually making sure that people know your music exists. And I worked briefly with a record label, and I just saw a massive difference in terms of exposure because they would kind of do the hard work of pushing it in people's faces and, you know, promoting it and calling up, you know, places where you could play live and kind of setting up concerts and all this kind of stuff. So I guess if you have all the time and energy to do that yourself, and I guess if you're interested in other people buying or listening to your music, then you can do it by yourself. But I realized that there's still kind of a place for record labels or, you know, managers and so forth to do that kind of work, which is something I'm not very good at myself. So recently, I'm not working with a record label anymore. I just put it out and I can see a huge difference. Like, I don't think it's just the music got worse or something. It's just people don't know about it because you got to continuously work on promoting it and so forth. So that's part of being a musician as well, I guess, if you want to make a living of it.
Do you also, since maybe this music hobby is a little bit more individualistic, like you make your own music and things like that, but do you actually have a community of music makers like in that you know of?
Yeah, I don't. I wish I had. I used to work together actually with a friend who's in Denmark, and we would work on songs together, kind of sending them back and forth. But he was the first to become a family man, so I kind of lost him at that point several years ago, and then just continued by myself. And now I'm realizing what it was he was struggling with, I guess. So yeah, actually, I wish there was more of a community to engage with. And I do remember when I did the 52 songs a year, there were some other people who had also committed to doing it. So we were kind of commenting on each other's music and like encouraging each other and so forth. And that was really, really fun. And also, like I said, when I worked with a record label, having someone who also gets excited about your music can be quite kind of motivating. So it can be a little bit more lonely when it's just yourself working on it. But yeah, it's still satisfying though. It's nice to have something you can just do on your own, I guess.
Yeah, maybe if you plan to create a Twitch account and then start broadcasting, maybe I will watch you.
Yeah,
then we can have a little chat while you are making and playing something.
Right. I was going through my my backups the other day, and I found some videos I had made just to see what it was like recording, when I was making music. So it recorded my face and it would record the screen, and it was basically just 2 hours of me with like a frown on my face listening to the same drum beat going over again. And I think no one's gonna want to listen to this. They just want the highlight, which is the finished part. So I don't know.
I don't know, maybe a lot of people interested into that stuff, because I saw a stream in Twitch a couple of weeks ago about somebody fishing. And basically in the screen you watch a dark screen and there is someone in the corner holding out a fishing rod, waiting for fish, and they have hundreds of people watching.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, you can actually interact with people while you are waiting for your carps or
to get hit. That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Interesting view, because I didn't know that kind of environment exists where you have a lot of people watching together something that is basically really boring in real life.
I guess everyone must have had the experience of sitting and just like looking out the window if it's raining or something. I guess there's something therapeutic about it.
Yes. Talking about music and maybe a little bit connection with yourself as a programmer. As a programmer, we tend to automate things in our lives, maybe too much automation. Does this also apply to you when you are making music?
Yeah, a little bit. There are some times where I'm working on music and I can tell it's my programmer mentality that's doing something. So it's just things like how you organize the tracks in a song, for example. Like say you have some drums that if one of the drums change volume, then they should all change volume. So you need to know to group them together instead of having to go to each one and change them every time. So that's like a tiny optimization. And also like how you organize your sounds, this kind of stuff, like making sure all the different drum sounds are in a place where you can find them quickly. So it's all about, I guess, being more efficient and not spending time, like I was saying, plugging stuff in or looking for stuff and so forth. So I can sometimes feel like, oh, this is me trying to be more efficient in a way a programmer would.
Talking about efficient, I found myself that when I play a game or do something as a hobby, and then when I start going back into work mode again, I feel refreshed or maybe a little bit inspired or motivated. Do you also feel the same when you're making music?
I guess I would say so. Not just like work, but like life in general. I feel really satisfied if I made something that I'm kind of happy with. And I guess with music, so when you work on code, for example, there's so many things that just kind of go away over time. I know so many programmers, like myself included, and their favorite thing is deleting code that they wrote, which is a strange thing, but it means like the stuff that you do is always temporary and it goes away. But if you make a piece of music, even if it's not very good, it kind of stays. You know, if you put it somewhere, it'll be there forever, and you can listen to it 4 years from now and like remember maybe what you're doing at the time and all this sort of stuff. So feels really satisfying that you did something and now it's there and it won't get deleted or refactored or something like that. It's just done. Yeah,
and maybe reviewed, and then you get put as review.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the only problem. If you listen to some really old music, it can be a little bit embarrassing and you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that or something like that. But yeah, immediately after having made something, it feels really nice, like you did something. And it's and other people can understand it as well. That's the other thing with programming. Not a lot of people will appreciate your hard work. They just see like a search button on the web or something and say, oh, cool, you can search.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, that's a lot of things to discuss for just for music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe a lot of people, maybe the viewer or my podcast doesn't know about they actually can make music really easy right now, and they can actually publish stuff even though nobody watches or nobody hears, but they actually can do something really easy right now in this day of age. And do you have one or two words for those people who wants to take on music making as their hobby? And this will be to conclude the show.
Yeah. I guess I would just say I'm really jealous, maybe, of those people. It's like you say, it's so easy to get started now. I remember when I first started to want to make music on the computer, and I read about this thing called a MIDI interface, which is something you would plug into the serial port, and then you could connect a keyboard to your computer. Like, I could only, it was really expensive, and I remember my birthday was coming up, but I felt it was too expensive for me to ask for it as a present. So instead I saved up for it. And for my birthday, I asked for my dad to drive me to the music store so I could buy it myself. And then after that, I couldn't afford the software. So I installed this trial version of some music software where you could make music, but you couldn't save it. And I think you could print a page of music like on paper, one page at a time. So I would just like make music and then print out the pages, and then thinking I could type them back in later because I wouldn't be able to save. And I think I actually got sick one day because I sat next to a laser printer just putting out weird fumes into the room and printing out music all day. So yeah, just thinking now, it's so easy to get started. You don't have to like save up a ton of money. You just need the computer that you already have, and then you can go on YouTube and actually learn how to do it and so forth. Yeah, I would just say I'm really jealous, and that is so easy to get started now. So yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going and just starting. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Thanks for your time. And this will be maybe live a little bit sooner or maybe later.
Sure.
I don't know. And it's good to talk to you, and hope we can have a conversation like this more and more in the next session, or maybe about another topic.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of a nice way to start the day, I realized, and it was fun talking to you.
Yeah. Yes, it's only half an hour too. Okay, and thank you very much, and see you later, Jens.
Cheers, thank you. Bye-bye.
Oke, terima kasih bagi teman-teman yang sudah menyaksikan podcast ini. Bisa kalian akses di didik.id/podcast atau di anchor.fm. Kalian bisa mencari podcast Di Atas Gudang atau di YouTube channel Di Atas Gudang juga. Terima kasih, sampai jumpa pada episode berikutnya. Salam.